Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Asian Avengers. So weak.
The Asian Avengers. So weak. So fuckable, bro. You know? Whoa. Whoa. There's five Asian guys.
And welcome back to another episode of Asian Not Asian Podcast. A podcast where two Asian guys not from Asia talk about American issues no American cares about. I'm your host, Fumi Abe.
And I'm Mike Nguyen.
And today is June 27th. It's a Saturday. Reporting to you live from Brooklyn, New York. And it is currently phase two. For people who are listening to in the future, when Earth is no longer a thing, it is phase two.
Phase two is for New Yorkers. That means you can do in store retail. Mm-hmm. You can go back to offices, which I mean, I don't know too many offices that are open. You can do outdoor seating, podcast Asian podcast guys. Can now complain about not getting laid again. That's phase two. Phase two. I believe phase three, then we can start talking about Jeremy Lin. Jeremy Lin is phase three. So, yeah, that's how it is.
And phase four is Crazy Rich Asians. And we just repeat.
We just say that over and over again. But that's phase four. So.
You know what I did, dude? I got my hair cut, man.
Did I say that? I feel, you're looking like a little boy again. Well, actually, so you were looking like a little boy before, but now you're looking like a...
I don't know if I showed you like how long my hair got. I could pull my bangs down to my lips. It was fucking wild. So
you
I should have grown it.
Did you think for a second about growing it out? You
know? I considered it, but I've never had long hair, and I couldn't stop playing with it. And my hair kept falling out because I was like constantly pulling
stuff.
And it was like, you know,
you're
like
so self-conscious.
I realized, you know, when like a lot of girls would play with their hair, and I never understood like why they did that. But now, like, the second I had, like, a little bit of longer hair, I started doing it myself. And I just, like, couldn't focus. It was just, like, too much. But I got my haircut, and I was talking to, like, I went to a Japanese spot. And it was nice because I hadn't spoken Japanese in, like, 3 months. So it was just nice to, like, talk to him. And the place I used to go to went out of business, so I had to find a new place.
No shit.
And, yeah, it's really sad. But I was talking to this guy about, like, the haircutting business in New York. I'm like, I'm surprised you guys didn't shut down. Yeah, the place I used to go to used to shut down. He was like, well, how long were they open? I said, they're open for like a year or two. And he was like, well, we've been open for like 8 years, but if it was like first or second year, we would be shut down for sure because we wouldn't have enough like clientele and stuff.
Oh, shit.
So there was that. But he also said the looting happened. This is on Spring Street. So the looting happened. And he was like, if our place got looted, like I would have to move back to Japan. Like there's like, I don't have money to, you know, I didn't have money to go on one more month in the quarantine. So it was just like, we got lucky that we were able to open. But he said the only reason why they didn't get looted is because there's a Supreme store in front of their salon. And then next to it is Noah. Or something.
Yeah, Noah.
Which is like related to Supreme. I'm not really
like
sure.
Like a streetwear store, yeah.
Yeah, and then
right there. Okay, wow.
And then Vince Camuto is like around the corner. So like those places got fucked. But then his hair salon, like they just had like chairs and scissors, so nobody fucked with them. So he was like,
I like that.
He was like, yeah, we're chilling. But you know what else I've been doing that I wanted to talk about real quick? I've been obsessed. Okay, so we're all on the internet, right? We're all watching shit on the internet. There is this internet show called Baited. Which is produced and hosted by this comedian Ziwei Fumado, I think is her name. She's in the New York comedy scene. She writes for Desus and Mero, which is crazy. I met her so long ago, and now she's famous, so I ain't shit. But she's got this show called Baited, and the whole premise is, let's see, this is what Wikipedia says. Baited with Ziwei, in which she has her white friends as guests on the show, and she baits them into making unwitting racial faux pas. So she basically asks like these crazy questions and try to make them say racist things that make funny sound bites. So for example, it's like, name four black friends, or like, name five Asian authors, or whatever it is, you know? So she had the show a little bit ago, but it's getting more attention now because, you know, it's more relevant. Now more than ever. And she's had on crazy guests. She's had on Allison Roman. She's had on Caroline Calloway. And You know, the premise is very funny. Like, hey, let's purposely try to make people say racist things. That's a funny premise. But as I'm watching this show, I am starting to realize that white people, like, when it comes to talking about race, and I'm not talking about anything complicated, like, do you know the history of Malcolm X? I'm just talking about, like, basic things that everyone should have an opinion about. Their IQ is, like, zero. Like, they don't know how to talk about it at all. And this is what I'm talking about. She had Alison Roman on. And she was like, name five, you know, because she got in trouble with the Chrissy Teigen thing. She was like, name five Asian friends. And it took her like 5 minutes or whatever. Like, it took her forever. And she could barely name five. And she was in the middle of it. She started getting flustered. She's like, oh, my God, is my face red right now? And
yeah.
And she kept saying weird things like, oh, Constance Wu, I'm sorry, that's a low-hanging fruit. And then Z was like, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by low-hanging fruit?
Is know? That, is she naming Constance Wu as a friend?
So I believe the question was name five Asian people.
Yeah. You could have just been like, well, like, you know, Genghis Khan, you know,
you could have got, that's funny that you would open with Genghis Khan, but yeah, she didn't even.
I mean, it's a ridiculous question. It's just like in general, you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, but yeah, that's the point of the show. It's a ridiculous question.
Well, like first I have to say you know, so I think what we wanted to talk about today was sort of the way that, you know, we've obviously been talking, this podcast is about race, so we've been talking about race, but we've been talking in particular lately with respect to everything that's happening with the protests and with Black Lives Matter. Like, how will people keep talking about race? And in particular for us, I think as comedians, like, how can we keep joking about it? How can we, like, make content about it, right? Because you're trying to, the conversation is different, and people are smarter and they are been exposed to more things. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in this climate of all things, why would you go on a show called Dated in this climate?
Dude, but that's what I'm saying. And like, their IQ is zero when it comes to this topic, man.
But it's just like you're if you're a white person right now, you got to be thinking, you're at the skate park and you're watching all your friends just eating dog shit at the bottom of this hill. And you're just like, I got it, you know, like, hold my beer. Okay, all right, Constance Wu. And you're just like, and what are you doing? You know, like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I feel that, you know, I was watching this show and it was really interesting. And I think ultimately I started thinking, like, what if I was on this show? What would I do? And it's funny when she has people of color on the show, because they know what she's trying to do, and it's like a kung fu fight, and they're just like, yeah. Ha, you think you can make this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ha, 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 ha. You know, it's like, yeah, you know, like they're at least aware of like what is happening, and I think if you're aware of it, you can start being funny about it. But to your point, yeah, like white people just like, I know. You know, I took an African American studies class.
Well, they say stuff like that, man. When she had Caroline Calloway on, who's like a influencer or whatever, I don't really know.
She's like
she started quoting some black authors, and then she felt weird about it. And then she got a phone call from her manager asking her to log off immediately, and she just signed off. Like I swear to God, like, these people come in here with no plan.
What
you know,
are you
it's
doing?
It's like the name of the show is basically like, hey, go off the skate ramp that has no safety net, and then they're like, yes, I will do this. Especially like,
yes.
Alison Roman, like 2 weeks after she already got on some heat about that Asian shit, she's like, yes, I would love to come on. Like it, like I don't, I really cannot understand what is happening logically.
I mean, respect to, I actually have to almost kind of respect Alison Roman, because it's like she did the skate ramp jump, she ate shit, she knocked a bunch of her teeth out.
Yeah.
And then somebody was like, you want to try that again? And she's like,
racism? Hell yeah, one more time.
One more time. And she's like lifting up the fucking ramp, you know, like, one more time, guys, check this out. And just boom. And I was like, oh my God, please call an ambulance for her. But yeah, I think that was funny as hell. I think, I haven't seen a ton of the show. It's just online right now. It's just on.
Yeah, it
Instagram
used to be on above average on YouTube, and then I think it was on hiatus, and then she brought it back, I believe, because of how relevant it is. But
for sure,
yeah, it's amazing. And let's bring in our guest. Let's fucking just get into it. This week we are so excited to have our guest on. She's coming off hot from our Hack City show last night, where she killed it. She's got blue hair, which is not something she had last time I saw her in person. So this is very exciting. And she is the host, of the Feeling Not Asian podcast, which a lot of you guys are fans of. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, please check it out. It's on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you can find your podcast. Super funny. Wait, did I say it wrong? It's Feeling Asian, right? Feeling Asian podcast. Okay, cool. Right. She just looked at me weird, so I'm like, did I just say something else? But hey, let's get excited. I am a weird guy. Let's get excited for the hilarious Young Mi Mayor.
Woo! Woo! Fumi, you said the Feeling Not Asian podcast?
Oh, I did? Oh.
Yeah. Which I feel like is like a weird Freudian slip.
Wow.
You're trying to roast me because I'm half white? Is that what's going on?
Nah, dude, it's that imperialist mentality, okay? Yes. He's constantly moving. He's like, oh, you got something I want. I'm going to send a couple of ships over. So be careful.
Wait, Mike, you didn't hear that? That's why I made that face.
Mike has been colonized already. I colonized him.
I'm just there. I'm just like, all right, well, we'll just go with it. And we'll learn judo, I guess. And honestly, they'll leave soon. So it's like,
Mike is just like, whatever Fumi says is always correct.
Yes. Hello.
Yes, sir. I didn't want to say master.
Hello.
That's
how
too
do I
creepy.
Say?
I also know about Alison Roman because I know her and I come from the food world.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah, dude.
I've had Asian friends tell me, like, this has been like 6-7 years ago. They're like, she specifically hates Asian women.
What? Why?
Why?
Yeah.
What did you do?
I mean, we all do, but you know why?
Why
my theory is... Well, I was talking about this on the show a little bit last night. Like, my theory is that there a lot of white women really dislike Asian women because of the, like... Because there's a lot of, like, internalized misogyny, you know?
Right. Oh, yes.
Because our skin's looking good. You know, it's a lot of internalized misogyny and... coupled with racism, a lot of white women buy into the fact that they're number two on the ladder, right?
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Asian women are number one?
No. Number two behind white men.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good spot, though.
And, like, I feel like, yeah, it's a great spot. But I feel like, like, racist tropes and stereotypes tell them that Asian women are, for some reason, in competition with them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know what
sure.
I mean? Because you always hear about how, like, white men fetishize Asian women.
Right.
The most important thing for white women is that they're pretty and skinny, and, like, Asian women can also do that. And so I feel like there's some sort of, like, competitive... And I feel like it's really taboo. I feel like a lot of white women don't talk about why they hate Asian women because they feel, like, sort of in competition with them.
Yeah,
it's, like, all
you're in
internal...
Competition. For all, like, the finance bros and for the Kyles. You know, sometimes skaters.
Listen, I don't want your boyfriend. He sucks. He's mediocre. I don't sleep with white men. But I think that there's, like, a lot of that going on. And I feel like a lot of white women never admit to the fact that they hate, especially women like Marie Kondo. I think that fucking gets their goat.
Really?
That's my theory.
Why Marie Kondo? You know what I'm saying? Why Marie Kondo in particular?
She's like the very, like, sexist ideal of what like a sexist
like
man
she's
would
tiny
think
and
an
yes
an Asian woman should
yes,
be.
Yes,
you know?
And like she's very you know, and like let me help you clean your house, you know, like
some like frat guy is like, I'm into Japanese chicks. That's what he means. Like, that's what gets his dick hard.
Just put her in a sailor costume and it'll be like that's it. That's 100%
like,
right
this
there.
Fucking chick. She's gonna suck my dick and like you know they have a fucked up idea of Asian women. Women as objects, and also white women have an idea of Asian women as objects, and they're mad. Do you know what I mean?
That's really interesting because you know.
Sorry, I don't know why I said does that make sense? That's so like.
No, I mean, but then the other person she also went after was Chrissy Teigen, right? Yep. Which is like,
Who's pretty.
You know, like, right? She's pretty. She's like, just popular. And then Chrissy Teigen was kind of like getting into her whole food thing, you know, into her space.
She's like, how dare you do this thing where I steal people's recipes? How dare you? That's my thing.
That's my thing. Yeah,
stealing is my thing. doesn't it make sense that it's like the merger of like internalized misogyny and racism? It's like pretty skinny Asian women.
I never thought about that, but now that you say it, I remember like when I first started comedy, I would hear a lot of jokes by white women. I never thought anything about it because I never thought of it like that. But there were a lot of jokes where the punchline is like, you know, the setup is something like, you know, I'm at a bar and, you know, I thought this guy was going to buy me a drink, but it turns out the drink was for this pretty skinny Asian lady next to me or something like that. You know,
yeah,
the joke.
I remember being at an open mic and this white comedian woman was talking about how she, you know, just like, I guess she's a server and she's talking about how there's always so many Asian girls at brunch, and she was like kind of like just like working through this whole thing, Yeah. You know, and I never really thought about that aspect where it's like gendered and then also race, and like it's like from their point of view, and like everybody sort of internalized this thing, and nobody's going after Kyle, everyone's going after each other, you know?
Ooh. Yeah, because women are raised to like compete with each other. Throw into the mix that it's like you're also a little bit of a white supremacist, that gets really toxic, you know what I mean? Yes.
Nice cocktail of racism right there.
Delicious.
It's rough. And you know what? As an Asian woman, I've experienced so many people like specific. Also, I've met Allison Roman a few times and she's been a bitch to me.
Really?
Tell me.
That sucks.
I love her stew.
Yo, what? Like how? She's like, is it just like...
You know, like a new, you know, like when you meet someone and they're like this, like you're at a party and they're just like, and then they're like, hi, my name is Youngmi or whatever. And they're like,
she did that?
Yeah, like that. Yeah.
That's like some movie like, shit.
She knows, but you know what the thing is, she does that to all women because she's really insecure, which she said that's out of her own mouth. And I feel like that's why people were so ready to take her down, because she's so mean to everybody, because she's like competitive with women.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
And also in the Z-Way interview, she couldn't just be like cool. She couldn't be like cool. She was like, well, oh, what?
Yeah.
Like she was still kind of being like annoying.
Well, yeah. Mike and I were talking about this earlier. When somebody asks you a question like that in a silly game show, like how many black friends do you have? Or like name four Asian people, you know, it's not really, she's not serious, right? It's a trick question. So you should approach it with some humor, or like you should, I don't know, like the fact that if we were to ask Mike that, he might say, I have zero black friends. Or I have zero friends, right?
I have zero friends.
Right, yes. Which is true for me. Like, I have zero friends. I mean, I wish I had a black friend, but I don't have any friends. I'll take any friend of any color, because I'm lonely, right?
That's
the kind of answer that a comedian would give, but it's just, when you put a white person on the spot, they're just like, Emperor Hirohito. Like, what? You know?
It's like that really fake HR answer, and then it gives it away that they don't have any black friends.
Yeah,
they don't
have any black people. They're reading off a script.
No, it is. It's like
4 to 5 black people are my friends.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's almost happened? Like, you know, when somebody asks you what's your greatest weakness and you go working hard, you know, like that's not it. You know, just be truthful. You know what I'm saying? Like, So I don't know. I was thinking about that, being on that show, and what would I say? And it is definitely like, you know, I don't have.
I was thinking about that too. I was also thinking about that. How many black friends do you have, Fumi?
Okay, yeah, you first, Fumi.
Like, okay, I'm not joking. I don't have that many close friends in my life. But out of the close friends that I have,
I know.
I don't think any of them are black. And that's just my life, man. Am I canceled?
Yeah, you canceled.
But,
just kidding.
But please, but who's next? I don't even get to explain myself. Next.
Get out. Off with his head. The answer is 4.
Yeah, the answer is 4 to 5, apparently, if you ask, if you read the textbook.
I mean, if you're being honest with this question, it's a fucking weird question, because, like, I can't even name, like, my friends. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
But I was thinking about this question.
I mean, like, we have comedian friends. Like, Alex Babbitt, Ego. I text them sometimes. We joke around. We text each other, like, boob jokes. But, like, am I going to call him if I'm hurt? Like, if I'm in jail, I'm not going to call them. So I don't know if, you know,
if we're talking about a comedian when you're in trouble, he'll roast you, and they'll just like, he's like, I'm taking a TikTok of this right now. Yeah, and then just bounce. Hey,
he goes viral.
Bail money.
Yeah, you can.
But then I was like thinking about my, like the races of like, I was like, do I have any white friends? And then, so I was like, who would I consider? But then I do have white friends. I have two close white friends that I would let stay in. Maybe that's the level. Who would you let move into your apartment if they were in trouble?
If they were really in trouble? Ooh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one.
Then I would still say, I would say 3 black friends on that, you know, if that's the test.
Yeah.
2 white friends. And then like 3,000 Korean people.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know them, but they're Korean.
Yeah.
So I have them in.
You really hit the nail on the head with like, because like if you ever ask someone, how many white friends do you have? you just be like, what? Like, what a weird question, you know?
That's what I mean. It's a weird question.
It would be like a weird thing to say because you don't think of them as white friends, you know what I'm saying? But then,
yeah, exactly, because they're your friends. You don't think of them as your black friends. You think of them as your friends.
You don't think of them as your black friends. Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What about you, Mike? How many black friends do you have?
Oh my gosh, I've been sweaty this whole time. So maybe they'll forget. Oh God, no, I really don't. I think I have zero or one. Anyways, okay. As you can see, I also fucked up the question.
Yeah, dude, that was bad. That was bad, bro. Let's try again.
No, so that's what I'm saying. I would say,
why are we baiting ourselves?
Yeah. No, but this is the point. It's like,
yeah. I think Fumi just really doesn't have any friends. Like, I don't even think
no,
right.
I get that.
I believe him.
I get that. No, I would say that I don't have, you know, like by definition of people I would have stay over in my house if they were like homeless or something. Like, I don't have that many friends, but I have a lot of people of color, BIPOC people who I would talk shit about white people with. Does that make sense?
You know,
like a lot of people like at work or comedians, and I would definitely like text them and be like, man, these fucking white people, am I right? And we would have like a little moment.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I think there's a thing there.
I think that's a different
a little vibe there, you know? But
I mean, if we're counting those people, then I would have to go with 4 to 5, which apparently is the magic, which apparently is the magic
worst
number.
Answer.
4 to 5.
Well, actually, a little while ago, I slept with this black guy, and we were talking about, we were just talking about what kind of person we've slept with, and he's like, I've never slept with an Asian person, I just assumed that you all hated us, and I was like, that's understandable.
That's fair. There is something to that, and I feel like, you know, just like you were talking about, you know, women internalize sexism, and then there's also racism on top of that. Like, there's definitely stuff with, you know, Asian people, especially like the Asian black relationship, like in America, is like a very, you know, particular one, very fraught, right? We're like set up against each other. So I see why, you know, if black people were to think all Asian people don't like them, you know, that makes sense to us. You know,
I was like,
you're like,
you know,
it's not true, but you know, I understand where that sentiment comes from.
I think Asian people, you know, there's a lot of talk about how Asian people are racist against black people, which we is true, but I think it's, for me, when I see that, I think it's more of an Asian immigrant thing, because they came to this country and then they just bought, like, ate up the media, which is basically white supremacist propaganda.
Yeah.
And they just believed it because, you know, they're scared and they didn't have any friends. So I see a lot of like immigrant Koreans like being very, very racist to black people. That's true. I'm not going to tell a black person that's not true.
Absolutely. And I went to, after Hack City yesterday, I watched this webinar that had Viet Thanh Nguyen, who wrote The Sympathizer.
Shouts.
Another author, he wrote a book called Sai, comma, Gone, and it's supposed to be like Saigon. And he's like a new author, and the two of them had this awesome conversation about like the Vietnamese American experience. But then it was interesting because a big portion of the discussion, you know, beyond talking about the book and their own experiences, was like the way that the Vietnamese diaspora community treats black people, you know, like the way we talk about it. Cause like our parents are definitely like super, like definitely racist. There's definitely like racial, you know, competition or whatever you want to say. And I wouldn't be surprised if they transmit some of that to the next, my generation, you know, cause like you learn like about the world through your parents and like how your parents react to something, you learn that. And then it takes a long time to unlearn it if you even ever do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. That's a really good point. Like, I'm not trying to be like, it's only the old Korean people.
No,
people.
Yeah,
it's like,
for
it's
sure,
like
yeah.
every, it's like their kids too, unless they took steps to unlearn that.
I was thinking about like, I believe I have not read this book. Please don't cancel me. I have not read White Fragility. But I believe there is like a chapter in there about the word racist, and you know, we throw around that word a lot these days, like the media, everybody, you know, and still to this day, it feels like when somebody calls you a racist, it feels like the worst thing that you can be called. when like I don't, I think we just have to, we got to change that, because I don't think it is the worst thing you could be called. Because to your point, I mean, like, just because your mom moved here or my mom moved here and she watched the news and now she has a certain perception of black people, like, that doesn't make her a bad person. It's just like she just ate the food that was given to her and that's what she believes. And so I think we just got to, like, I think calling somebody a racist or being racist, like, that we need to bring that word down to, like, the word, like, dick and asshole. You know, if someone was like, you're being a, if someone's like, you're being a dick right now, you're not going to be like, I'm not a dick. Most of my friends are, I have 10 dick friends. No one's going to say that, you know? All my friends are being, whatever, you know? So, and like, if somebody calls you an asshole, you're not going to take it personally. Right? So you're going to be like, I guess I was being an asshole. I'm sorry, man. Like, I won't do it again. You know, Mike told me that I was being an asshole last night. I was like, my bad, man. You know,
you were being an asshole.
But like, I'm not going to take that and just like write a manifesto. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, but when you call somebody a racist, it does kind of roll down and like it kind of snowballs into something else.
They get so panicked. But the also everyone is racist. We all grew up in the same fucking society. Like, why are you pretending that, you know what I mean? You didn't see the same television shows as I did. They're so racist. It's just like, and it's just like everyone can do stuff that's racist. It's like, even if you're actively trying not to, it'll like pop out. And when it happens, instead of like starting to cry and say blaming other like POCs, you have to own up to it, you know?
Right. Right. Because I agree. I feel race, being called racist is like a very strong thing, especially to white people, especially to liberal white people.
Liberal
like,
white people. Yes.
Southern white people might be cool with it.
Literally the most racist.
Yeah. They're most racist and most afraid of being called racist.
Yeah.
And I think as long as we can call them out, but then it still has a force, because there are some times when you call someone an asshole and they just go, I'm an asshole. What are you going to do about it? You know? Mm. And then like nothing happens and you're just like, fuck. And now you're just like, you're going to also be an asshole on top of no, which is even more of an asshole move. Yeah. You know?
Oh, I see.
So I think it's like, you got to have the conversation, you know what I'm saying? So you can say that this is a racist thing, whatever you're, you know, we live in a racist society, which I think for a lot of people is like a weird mind-blowing step, because they're like, what are you talking about? Racism is like hanging a noose on a tree, you know, like something really obvious like that.
Yep.
And it's not just everything, you know, like having a bank account in some ways is racist, you know. Which, by the way, very quickly, did you guys see that whole thing that happened with that NASCAR driver,
dude? Yes. I'm
what
still
what?
It whatever what I know it, I know it came out that it wasn't
okay
on their own purpose, but I still don't buy
it. Okay, so what happened was, I only know him as Bubba because that's what the media calls him. Yeah. So like, he's a NASCAR driver. He's like the only black NASCAR driver, and you know, he recently, because of his comments, NASCAR banned the rebel flag, the stupid
Confederate flag.
Confederate flag.
Yep.
And then sometime later, they say, Bubba said that they found a noose in his garage, and this is like a, you know, a hate symbol and stuff like that. The FBI investigated it and said, oh, actually, it's just a garage pull down handle, and it's been there for like a year or something already.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh man, that's kind of weird. Let's see what a picture of this looks like. So they have a picture of this noose, and dude, it is a noose. It is not like a like. You know, I've seen a garage pull down handle. Okay,
yes.
It's just a nylon cord with a loop.
Yes,
you know that not every loop is a noose, but every noose is a noose. Because like,
I mean, it's
the noosiest noose you've ever seen.
It's so noose. It's so fucking noosey, bro.
It is a noose, man. It is not. Somebody, whoever tied that, wasn't like, you know, gonna make me a pool handle. No, that guy took like 20 minutes.
I've never seen that at Home Depot. Like, I grew up in the suburbs. I'm an expert on garages, okay? I had the automatic one. I had the pool. I know it all, bro. I've been to Home Depot, okay? I've been to Lowe's, but...
That's his brand.
When I saw the fucking news, it was like, yeah, there's just whoever made that. There's no way he didn't think this was gonna get misconstrued, you know?
I don't know. This kind of shit makes me so fucking pissed. Like,
it's
makes
crazy.
Me so uncomfortable, because, like, this is the kind of shit that I feel like the part of racism, especially anti-black racism in America, and also anti-Asian racism, is that it's not the fucking... It's, yes, obviously it's the racist acts that fuck with me, but what really fucks with me is the gaslighting. when they're not a noose.
It's not a noose.
It's not a noose. It looks perfectly just like a noose.
It's a garage pull-down handle, you dumbass.
What are you, insane? What are you, crazy?
We just want to pull down our garage doors.
Insane. That makes me insane.
You're crazy.
Like, that's what pissed me off about the fucking Allison Roman things. Like, I didn't notice they were Asian women. When I'm like, bitch, everyone knows this about you.
Damn.
You can't don't fucking lie to our you know what I mean? It's like the lying to our faces. And when it has something to do with when literally black men are getting lynched right now in the South, and they're like, ha, that's not a news.
Right.
Like, that is so fucked up. Dude, it's so damaging.
They need to step up their gaslighting game, because it's just so uncreative right
what
now.
What do you mean,
you know?
It's a news? Yeah, it's so uncreative.
It's just like, on top of that, like, they were like, oh, it's not, you know, even if the noose wasn't a noose or whatever, which it is, it's fucking a noose. Like, they should put that picture in the dictionary under
question
noose.
Question yourself.
Dude.
So this is...
You know what's funny? They're just like, guys, it was there all along. Like, okay, still an issue. Still an issue.
Guys, no, hold on here. No, you don't understand. We were racist before. We're actually, we were sad you didn't notice the noose earlier.
No,
okay?
It's fine because, no, remember the story where the somebody, like the cop said, I'm going to, there's like three cops sitting in the car, and they were just saying like the N-word and being like, we're going to murder all the like black people. Saying the N-word. Did you hear that news story? And they caught them on radio, and they all got fired. But after that thing came out where the one police officer was like, I'm gonna murder all black people because they're, you know, all this racist shit, like they're like disgusting and they're tearing down our country and they're like calling them animals, all the fucking whole nine yards. And then in his apology he said, I'm not a racist person, I was just tired. Like, that level, of, like, you're literally saying you're gonna, like, commit genocide to black Americans, and then when we asked you about it, you're like, well, I'm not racist. Like, that's the level of how fucked up these racist white people are. They're like, they could never accept, that's how much they can't accept it. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And that's the guy that probably made the noose.
You...
It's a garage door handle.
When you get tired, you make nooses and you...
What are you going to do? Just pass time.
I'm so tired, I just made a noose. What can I say?
You know how I unwind? I make nooses and hang them in the house. Like, what the hell are you talking about?
I'm just on my porch.
Who is racist if you're not racist?
Yeah,
you know?
You're on the porch, you grab a beer, you read a nice book, and then you make some nooses. And that's you put them on Etsy.
Yeah.
They're deranged. They are ill. They're unwell. And then meanwhile, you and I... And Mike, like, all the three of us are like, we're racist. We are raised in a racist society. You know, like, we're admitting to it. Meanwhile, the guy plotting genocide is like, I'm not
racist. I just love pull handles, okay? Can a guy love how to pull down his garage without it being racist?
Can I have a hobby? Jesus.
Can I have, I just love knots, okay?
You, when you said he just did it because he was tired, I just watched this, like, very quick Vice documentary. This is a little old, but about Roseanne Barr. Remember when she tweeted something and then she got fired?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so she, like, said that some politician looked like Planet of the Apes mixed with ISIS or something like that. She's Iranian or something like that, right? And I was watching this, like, it was a documentary about her, what she's up to now, because everything got canceled. And she was talking about that night, and she's like, I went to bed, and I woke up around 2 a.m. to go to the bathroom, and I just tweeted that. And then when I woke up, it was all over. And I just, it's, again, she was just tired. Like, maybe this is a thing, you know? Like, I go to the bathroom all the time in the middle of the night. I've never been like, you know what, let me just tweet something about black people real quick. You know what I'm saying? I've never thought that. Like, that would, I don't understand that logic. You know what I'm saying?
You know how there's, like, Snickers commercials, and then, like, their Snickers commercial, the guy is just, like, being mean because he's hungry?
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, like, what if they just had that, but it was, like, a bunch of alt-right guys, and you're just like, hey.
Making nooses.
Hey, like, guys, come on, here's some Snickers bars, and they just take a bite, and then they, you know, they become AOC, and it's just like, oh, I was just hungry, you know, my bad.
Oh, my God.
AOC. I was so hungry, man. I was so hungry, I decided to make some nooses and use the N-word a bunch of times. So
I was
tired.
Hangry.
I'm
s-
I'm so angry.
Oh my God. Yo, I'm not racist. I'm hangry.
I'm not racist, okay? I have low blood sugar, okay? That's the problem.
We just solved racism, guys.
We just solved it, guys. They're just stickers out.
They're just tired. What they need is Helix sleep mattress.
Damn, nailed it.
Nailed it.
If you love Helix sleep mattress, if you need some time off, go ahead and use our promo code.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anal.
Just take our survey. The first one is like, how tall are you? Second one, are you racist? You know?
Yeah.
What kind of bed do you want?
Oh my God. That was funny.
Oh man. This is why I love having our friends on the pod. It just gets so wild
just
up
fun.
Here.
It just gets so much fun.
I'm feeling it like I'm having too much fun. I've said probably something to get canceled, but you know what?
For sure.
No, yeah. I haven't. You know why? I'm not racist. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
We're just tired.
So weird.
I'm tired. We've been recording for 42 minutes, so we're like, oh. I'm getting more guys. I'm getting so racist right now.
We might be on something because even like Shane Gillis, remember that was an hour and 10 minutes into the podcast where he's like, "I fucking hate Chinese people." Yeah,
this is so funny. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're
They're
out.
Disgusting.
You're out with all your friends.
They disgust me.
You're out with all. If you're out with all your friends and like, hey, you guys want to go to another bar? I don't know. I'm feeling a little racist. You know? I'm feeling a little racist. I think I might go home.
I might stab an Asian person. I gotta go home, yeah. Man.
You know, I might call someone, you know, like, a racial slur. I think I might go ahead to bed, you know?
Yeah, you guys want to come with?
Yeah. You guys want to come with? You guys good? Oh, my God. That's good. Oh,
my God. Damn.
Anyways.
Yo.
So good.
That was, bro. This was
should
like.
We, yeah, let's, should we just cut it off there?
Let's just cut it off now, dude. That was so much fun. I can't believe we solved the racism. I feel
they're
so accomplished.
Tired.
So easy.
They're just fucking tired. Oh my God.
They're all good people. They just haven't had enough sleep.
Yeah. which I get, oh you know, God, if you're white, guys. Like how can you sleep if you're white, you know? So many enemies. How can you sleep?
You guys, speaking of racism, I work in a Chinese, I own a Chinese restaurant. I'm sorry, I'm going to say that because it sounds like weird if I say it the other way. And I'm working there now. And I get so many racist prank calls. It's ridiculous.
Really? Still in Corona?
Every fucking day.
Really? Tell me some.
I got a Ching Chong Bing Bong the other day.
Oh
my God.
Someone just, and then some guy was like, hi, do you like how much for the bat? Like I got that. Oh my God. But the Ching Chong Bing Bong. I thought it was funny because I've never heard the bing bong part.
You talked about that last night. And I was like, yeah, right. I've never heard. It's usually like ching chong ding dong. Is it ding dong? What's the second part
sometimes
of that?
Sometimes a ling long. It's a dialect ching thing, chong. You know? Yeah.
Yo, I'm sorry, but I laughed.
Racist guy. No, Ching Chong Bing Bong. That's a New Jersey guy. You know? That guy was called.
It was actually a woman.
Oh, hey.
It was Allison Roman.
You know? From
it was,
Seoul,
it was
from,
Allison Roman.
She would blow off some steam.
But God. She was tired. What time was it, though?
What time was it?
9 p.m.?
Yeah.
It was actually right
before bed.
Interview.
She was hungry. She wanted some food, and she thought, you know?
Yeah.
She wanted to order the soup
right
blood dumplings.
Yeah.
You know, she wanted to order the mapo tofu and ching chong, you know, ching chong bing bong. You know, ching chong bing bong.
Well, listeners, if you're confused right now, don't be. This is who Young Mi is. And go to a restaurant. Help save their restaurant, man. Go to Mission Chinese, eat some food, give them some money. And fuck it. I don't know. If you're a white person, get some sleep. Get a lot of sleep before you listen to this. This is a deep one. So
thanks again to Young Mi Meyer for being on the show. Please check out Feeling Asian, available on all the various podcast things. Young Mi, how can our fans find you?
On Instagram and Twitter, I'm YM Mayer. And then the podcast page on Instagram is Feeling Asian Podcast. I have a TikTok. It's Young Mi Meyer.
Yeah.
As always, you can find us on social media at AsianNotAsianPod. I am also on all platforms at TheFumiAbe, that's T-H-E-F-U-M-I-A-B-E.
You can find me on Instagram at NicePantsBro.
Please come to our Hack City Comedy Show. It's every week, 8 p.m. Eastern on Zoom. All you got to do is Google Hack City Comedy Eventbrite or just go to our Instagram page and click on a bio link or just go to asian.asianpod.com and you can get tickets there. Patreon supporters, thank you so much for your monthly contributions. If you want to be a part of that, go to patreon.com/asian.asianpod to join the anal army. Not as big as the BTS army, but we're on LinkedIn. We're older.
We are
got
on
jobs.
LinkedIn. Yeah.
In a lot of ways, we're more powerful than the BTS army. So think about it. I think that is it. Young Me, thank you so much. This was so much fucking fun. I haven't laughed like that in a minute, and I missed that. So listeners, thank you guys so much, and we'll see everybody next week. Bye. Bye.